So we're talking about schizophrenia now. It's a condition that I think has been, over the years, has gotten a bad reputation. It's very misunderstood. It's highly feared. And so we thought, let's expand on this conversation, because last month, I think it was the 24th, it was World Schizophrenia Day, and it was observed to highlight the condition and its symptoms. Because according to the World Health Organization, just over 1% of the world's population are at risk of developing schizophrenia. So that's about 21 million people. So joining us now is Dr. Kobus Roux, and I'll take your calls. He's a psychiatrist on schizophrenia, because many believe that you wouldn't be able to function. Even the diagnosis, in fact, has led to people not being able to find employment whenever they disclose, so their rights are violated in this way, and there needs to be increased awareness so that we do away with this sort of prejudice. Good afternoon, Doc. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
So am I correct in saying that schizophrenia is certainly one of the most misunderstood or most, there's a dark reputation that surrounds it. And I think part of that has to do with pop culture.
Yeah, well, and I mean, if you look at the movies in the older times, when they say someone is crazy, they portray him as a very dangerous person.
Or, mm-hmm.
And maybe people think when you're schizophrenic, you are dangerous, which is definitely not true. Most people with schizophrenia are very passive individuals, and they suffer from specific symptoms, and those symptoms can be voices in their head and hallucinations or delusions, where you believe things that are not necessarily true. Mm-hmm. But when you get treatment, that's an acute episode. When you are treated, these symptoms can go away and you can have a normal functional life sometimes.
Yes. I was surprised to see that there are stages.
Yeah, so we talk about episodes in mental disorder.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have an acute episode,
mm-hmm.
then you have an episode. And the problem is, it's like a heart attack. Every time you have another heart attack, the chances of dying is much bigger, because your heart gets damaged every time there's a heart attack.
Right.
So if you have many episodes of psychosis, then your brain gets attacked and you get brain damage and you get more sick.
Mm-hmm. So is it progressive, or is it that once you have been diagnosed at the early stages, that it's then possible to manage it and, of course, prevent the damage you speak of?
Yeah, so this is where it's very, something like which really I've heard a lot about recently is motor neuron disease, where
yes.
there's a degenerative neurological disorder and there's a deterioration all the time.
Mm-hmm.
With schizophrenia, it's not necessarily so. You have acute episodes, and if you manage the illness very properly after the first episode, then you can stop the progression.
Wow, right. So the management is quite key. I think the diagnosis is quite key.
Yeah.
So is it very challenging? Is it quite difficult? We find a lot of people going misdiagnosed.
Yeah, so it's very challenging to make the diagnosis. And the reason for that is that if you have an acute psychotic episode, that's when you like hear voices and you start believing things are true, which is not true, or you have paranoid delusions, you think people are against you. A lot of young people get that when they smoke dacha or they use drugs for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult to distinguish the two episodes. So a lot of people are not diagnosed with the schizophrenia after the first episode, and they get missed, and the treatment only starts too late, which is a big problem.
Yeah. Are there particular triggers?
Well, the thing is, with a mental disorder, anything can be a trigger.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have something chemically that's a trigger. So if you are prone to develop a mental disorder or schizophrenia and you use drugs, those drugs can be a trigger to make you psychotic. Some women have a postpartum psychosis. So it means they have a baby and the hormonal changes triggers the episode.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people who think that an illness like a flu or an infectious illness can trigger it. There's other people who think that a traumatic event can
right.
trigger this. And most people develop it between the ages of 25 to 35. So it might be that the progression of the illness is also to start having symptoms at that age.
Right. Well, there's a question, or someone says the doctor keeps referring to psychosis. This comes from Mark. What is a psychosis, he says?
Okay. So psychosis is a very broad term, which means you lose contact with reality.
Yeah.
So there are many conditions that can make you lose contact with reality. But what it means is you hear voices and you don't know whether there's someone talking to you or demons talking to you or whether it's just a short circuit in your head. And you have delusions, and those delusions is you start to believe things that are not necessarily true. So you start to live in your own head, and it's almost, people say it's like they live a dream and they don't know what is reality and what is in their dream world anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So earlier you touched on the question of danger. Is that due to the conversations being had or the messages being shared by the voices? Can it also precipitate paranoia, which could then result in someone acting based on that paranoia?
I think that's the only most common thing where someone with schizophrenia becomes dangerous is if they have paranoid delusions and they act on those delusions. So mm-hmm. they believe that someone is a danger to them and they think they're protecting themselves against this person.
Okay. We're taking calls, by the way, 011-883-0702-317-02 for your SMSs. This is one mental health condition that isn't talked about as much as perhaps it should be, considering that 21 million people around the world live with schizophrenia. And as we started this conversation, we noted how it's been portrayed in pop culture particularly, which creates a lot of fear around it. And this is an opportunity for us to become more aware of the condition and its symptoms. We'll talk about treatment in a short while, because it is possible to treat and manage, as Dr. Quibus Roo has suggested. He's a psychiatrist joining us for this conversation. Sizwe, you're calling from Pimville. Hi, Sizwe.
Yes, how are you, madam?
I'm good. Welcome.
Just one question, then one is a comment. First question is, I want to know whether this schizophrenia is associated with bipolar, is it mental disorder, I don't know how to call it, but whether it's associated with bipolar, someone who's a bipolar. Mm-hmm. And the second one, there's a same thing which in our community, when someone has such illness as schizophrenia, hallucination and all that is associated with a calling mm-hmm. to be a prophet or sangoma. How I wish our people could learn from these lessons, that before a person could be associated with a calling, there must be thorough investigations.
Yes, yes. You know, Sizwe, you remind me of a conversation that Ugogo Nuklinda Mkhize, she's very well known on social media, particularly. She held a talk because around mental health and ubizo. That's what she called it, because she has a history with both. And it was quite a process distinguishing what was what, because one could have been confused for schizophrenia and her gift could have been confused for schizophrenia and vice versa.
A great number of people have been swindled off monies by the so-called bigger prophets or sangomas, simply because a person suffers from schizophrenia and that is associated with a calling to be a sangoma.
Hmm. Right. Thank you for the call, Sizwe, and adding that to the conversation, because often also with mental health, we don't locate it within our context. We see it through a Western view. Yes, there's much more research there, of course, but then we neglect some of the intricacies and things that are quite specific and unique to where we are. So that was Sizwe calling from Pimville. We welcome your calls as well on 011-883-0702. So, Doctor, a comment and a question. And you're obviously welcome to comment on his comment, but he asked a specific question about whether it's associated with bipolar.
Yeah, so when we talk about psychosis, and that's the point where you lose contact with reality and you hear voices and you start to believe specifically in things that's not true, you can have a psychotic episode when you're bipolar. And then you have a manic episode where you grandiose and you have grandiose delusions. So you can still become psychotic from bipolar disorder, but bipolar disorder is classified as a mood disorder where your mood is either depressed or manic.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with schizophrenia, it's a different disorder which also makes you psychotic. So in a schizophrenia, the psychosis is more pronounced. You don't have these mood swings, and most people with schizophrenia have what we call a blunted affect.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not as expansive in their mood as people with bipolar are.
All right. Okay. What an interesting comparison. Thank you. Next, we have Peter in Midvale. Hello, Peter.
Yes, young lady. My dad had schizophrenia. Well, I'm not 67 odd years old, but anyway.
Mm-hmm.
My dad had schizophrenia, and they prescribed a drug for him,
mm-hmm.
which had a terrible side effect. It's called strelazine.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to know if it's still being used.
Ah, I see. What were the side effects? You sound quite concerned, Peter, about...
Parkinson's. It was drug-induced Parkinson's disease.
Right. Okay. How long ago was that?
Well,
How many decades?
He died about 35 years ago.
Oh, I see. Okay, so we're talking 70s thereabouts. Thank you. That's Peter in Midvale. Any thoughts on that? Strelazine?
No, so the thing is, what we say is there's about two phases in the development of antipsychotic drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So the first generation of antipsychotics was developed in the 1950s. And those drugs were all what we call type of tricyclic and phenothiazine drugs. And they all caused extrapyramidal side effects, which is drug-induced Parkinson's.
Mm.
So those are the drugs like haloperidol, which was used a lot that time, and all these other drugs that are the same.
Mm.
And then after, like, say, the 1990s, there were newer drugs, which we call second-generation antipsychotics, that were developed specifically not to have these side effects. And these drugs are being refined every year by drug companies to cause less and less side effects.
Right.
So we definitely have drugs now available which has much less side effects, which you can take on a chronic basis and try to live a normal life with it.
Okay. And that brings us to, of course, the management, because lots of people think it's untreatable and that you wouldn't be able to function. People have been excluded from work opportunities, study opportunities, and have been judged harshly because there's a stigma and discrimination as a result, and it can violate the human rights. So it's good to know that it is treatable. Let's go to Kansani in Hartbeespoort. Hello, Kansani.
Hi, Azania. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I was diagnosed with schizophrenia in 2006 while I was doing my internship.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm on medication. It was paranoia, apparently. So I'm on medication. I'm married. I have two beautiful sons. I'm living a normal life. I've never had a relapse since then. But then my concern, as I need to tell you the truth, you know, when you're in health profession, regardless of whatever illness that you have, we suffer the stigma there.
Mm-hmm.
We suffer the stigma there. On a day-to-day, I always worry about, okay, will I lose my job? But I work. I do calls. I do everything. I'm on medication. After every 28 days, I have to go and collect my medication. I'm on respirator and I'm fine, living my life.
So you've disclosed, and you're saying that any day, depending on perhaps who's responsible, who's managing you, they might make a decision that judges you harshly.
Yeah, because there was a time when I started my intern, obviously they wanted to report and everything, and then I had to work under observation, find understood that and everything.
Mm.
And then I think 2 years ago, they wanted to report as to whether I'm functioning normal or what. And then my doctor wrote the report.
Okay.
I'm fine, I'm functioning normal. My husband was interviewed. They were checking if I'm a normal person, I'm a normal human being. And then they found out, I'm normal. So what I'm trying to say is that you see the schizophrenia, this bipolar, but then more than anything, we are scared of health. Let me tell you, HPCSA can scare you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, they treat us look like we are not normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are after you all the time. So it's not about, we are scared of HPCSA, That's how they treat people with illnesses. I mean, we are normal people.
So as a medical practitioner, you can't have a condition because...
Where are we supposed to run to?
Right.
Just like that.
Oh, that's such an interesting perspective. Kansani, thank you very much for sharing, because she is managing and living with schizophrenia. Any comment?
Yeah, no, I think it's a wonderful story to hear, and there are many people who get treatment in time and who stay with their treatment and can live a normal life from there on.
Mm-hmm. Next, we've got Miranda in Pretoria. Hello, Miranda.
Hi, you're speaking to Miranda. How are you?
Welcome. Good, thank you.
Good, thank you. Yeah, I've got a grandmother. She just turned 87 years. And I mean, last week, 2 weeks ago, we just discovered that she is struggling from psychosis. So she sees so many things, you know, and it happens only during the night. We just don't know how to manage her. We don't know how we can just make her feel good, because just when it gets dark, then she sees all these things coming to her, and we don't know how to manage her properly. So I'm just asking, where can we go just to help her to become, you know, just to see reality, because she doesn't see this thing that we keep on reminding her that there's no one coming to hate you, there's no one coming to do anything to you, because she accuses almost the entire family that we're coming to kill her.
How old is your grandmother, Miranda?
She's 87 years old.
87. All right. Please stay on the line. Dr. Rue, an emotional call, watching a loved one battle with a condition that's been, that sounds undiagnosed. What should they do? What's the starting point?
The starting point is definitely, especially with older people, is to take them to the casualties of the nearest hospital.
Okay.
Because there's lots of medical conditions that you must also exclude when someone suddenly becomes confused. And the other thing is, when you're older, you can develop Alzheimer's disease or dementia, which can also give psychotic symptoms. But the best thing is to go to a hospital and let them refer you to a psychiatrist and to medical specialist physicians to see what's wrong.
Miranda,
okay.
Will you start there?
Yeah.
Okay. Get professional help and get it diagnosed first.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your call. It's because it's difficult, isn't it, for families, for the caregivers and loved ones who witness the psychosis.
Yeah, and that I think that's the most difficult part of the illness, is for the caregivers, because while someone is psychotic, it means they believe themselves. Mm-hmm. They don't know they've got the illness.
Mm-hmm.
But they think if you are trying to help them and saying to them, listen, this is just in your head, it's an illness that you're having, that you're part of the enemy that's trying to kill them or to do something bad to them. So they don't let you look after them, and that's very difficult for families. But the moment someone gets treatment, they start to have insight into their illness, and then they understand that you were doing it in their best interest.
So in that moment, how do we respond? Do we challenge the reality and say, that's not happening, this is where we are, I am so and so, this is what's happening? Because it does that not agitate them?
That will agitate the person.
Exactly.
So the best thing is to say to him, listen, I'm hearing what you're saying, to you, but get into professional help, because those professional people will know how to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, when you have an acute episode where someone is psychotic and they can be a danger to themselves, they must be admitted to a hospital and cared for till they're better.
Oh, great. Craig, you're calling from Cresta. Good afternoon.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, welcome.
Good. Crazy is the new normal, man. I suffer with mental illness.
Yes.
And I wouldn't change it for anything. It's the best thing to live with. But in the same sentence, the biggest issue that I had with it, it took years to be diagnosed, from psychologist to psychiatrist, in, out, being diagnosed with one thing, and then a couple of months down the line, no, this wasn't what you have, this is what you need to have, or this is what you have, and a whole range of medication. And just to state, the medication isn't cheap. It takes a massive knock on you when you go onto it. It's like a whole expedition. So my question is, what's a typical cycle of diagnosing these things, and with, especially being with these sicknesses so close? I mean, a lot of people say that you've got schizophrenia and you might be bipolar, or you're bipolar and you've got ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a close link.
Yes.
And it's like a hit and a miss at whose expense.
Mm.
Isn't there? And what I've also found out is that I've not been treated by a psychologist or a psychiatrist because of the amount of money that I've spent in it. I'm being treated by a neurologist, which done blood test on me and found that certain levels, my lithium levels are low and so forth.
Yes.
And I've been on that medication for the last 5 years.
Oh, and is it treating you well?
It's treating me well.
So you've come
been on it, so it works.
Yeah, so you've come to a point where it's all working.
So long. Why can't they have if when you go in with a flu, they test it quickly.
Mm-hmm. No, I hear you. But Craig, I'm also intrigued by what you started off with when you said you wouldn't change it for the world. I think things are imperfectly perfect in life. We see these obstacles, but, you know, there's something beyond that we might not have realized yet can be beautiful, that is beautiful in our unfolding. So what has that been for you?
It's been an amazing journey suffering with mental illness for me personally, because you get to learn people that's close to you, people that stick around when you go through your insane phases. There's people that stick around and people that leave because they don't understand what's happening. So you experience people on different levels. Your family relationships get built on different levels going through all this. I would have just liked to have been diagnosed earlier with the correct sickness, instead of going through 5, 6, 7 years and a couple of suicide attempts with it.
Right. Craig, powerful call. Thank you so much for raising the issue. And let me let the doctor respond, but I've got to take headlines. Kwebos, are you able to give us just 2 minutes after the headlines so that we can take the news on time? Because there's another caller from Somi on this. My guest is Dr. Kwebos Roo. He's a psychiatrist. And great call from Craig there, just giving a different perspective, of course, to how we regard mental health. Azania Musaka on 702. It's 26 minutes to 3 o'clock, and we continue our conversation after the powerful call from Craig with Dr. Kwebos Roo, a psychiatrist, the 24th of May. I know it's last month, but it's never a bad time, is it? Was World Schizophrenia Day, a condition that affects just over 1% of the world's population, are said to be at risk of developing schizophrenia, according to the World Health Organization. We've learned a hell of a lot this afternoon, thanks to Dr. Kwebos and your calls. Let's quickly respond to Craig's call, the process of diagnoses. That's the one thing he would take away from his journey.
Yeah, so I think Craig has made a very important message, and that is that of all the medical specialities, we need the most clever doctors to become psychiatrists. Because in any other medical disease, you can make a diagnosis by doing a blood test or doing an MRI scan, and you can see there's the illness. In psychiatry, because we know so little about the brain, our only way of diagnosing an illness is still reliant on clinical investigations and a clinical history. So we can't know exactly what's wrong with you immediately. It takes a time to make the diagnosis. And the important thing is to stick with one doctor and give them the time. And the other one is the stigma that people go when their mental illness has developed too far.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is important that you go and see a psychiatrist and that you give him time to make a proper diagnosis. And we know so little about the brain, but every day we learn more and more about the brain.
Yes, yes. Let's go to Somi next in Sandton. Hi, Somi.
Hi, hi. My son was diagnosed with a mental illness October last year.
Mm-hmm.
And he has been on medication since. And it has been changed to this one is decreased, this one increased. Right now, he is in a very expensive injections. And I'm phoning to ask the specialist about his behavior, whether it's the effect of the drugs. He has become lethargic, doesn't want to clean his room, doesn't want to make his bed, has to be reminded to clean himself, dress properly.
Mm-hmm.
He never used to be like that before. I mean, before the illness.
So you think it's a consequence or side effect of the medication?
I would
or the injections.
I don't want to keep badgering him about this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole family is involved with him. We take him out and let him go. but it gets a bit frustrating.
Right.
That he doesn't find anything wrong about the fact that the room is a mess.
Right. Dr. Kwebis, how do you respond to Somi? Should his medication be re-looked at?
So both things have to be done. So the medication has to be re-looked at, because these medications are very strong medication, and it can cause sedative effects and make you tired and not lazy.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing is also, unfortunately, it is part of the illness. So we talk about the acute psychotic symptoms, and then we talk about residual symptoms which last even though you get the initial symptoms treated. So there's a percentage of people with schizophrenia which have a lot of negative symptoms. And those negative symptoms it looks like laziness. We call it the amotivational syndrome.
Right.
It's probably linked to too little dopamine in your brain, and it's that you can't do things. So a lot of people with chronic schizophrenia, if you go to mental hospitals, you will see them, they sit the whole day under the trees, and there they sit and they drink their coffee until tonight they go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
So it is unfortunately a part of the progression of the illness as well.
Is it possible to manage it? Because he's still young. Her son is still young.
So the thing is, and this is the dictum that we know, the sooner you diagnose someone and you start them with the correct treatment, the better the prognosis.
Yes.
So if he gets the right treatment, he can still get better.
Okay. All right. So, Mia, I hope that gives you a sense of hope on that one.
Yes. Avanya.
So me?
Ask you one thing,
Avanya. Mm-hmm.
What did you mean about the other traditional African influences? You mentioned it at the beginning of the program.
Yes, after the call that we got, I think it was Cesar in Pimville was saying that he wishes that black people would get more educated about conditions like schizophrenia, because his view is that because one of the symptoms is hearing voices and so on, being in a dreamlike state, not being in this reality. So he was suggesting that people need to go for these diagnoses before they are referred to Lefetre, or before they are referred to initiation.
I'm with you, but still not happy. But I hear you.
What do you mean? Just expand on that quickly, Somi.
It's because where I went...
Oh, wow. No, I think it's airtime. We don't know. But I think it brings us to the end of our conversation, Dr. Ru. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Expanded the conversation in ways that we certainly had hoped for. Thank you for your time.
All right. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
That's Dr. Kwebis Roo, a psychiatrist.